Parshas Masay. I've always wondered something, and Baruch Hashem, Hashem gave me clarity this year. We're finishing off, Lemaisa, we're finishing off Sefer Bamidbar, which is in essence really the end of the Hachana, as it were. You know, in every yeshiva there's a Hachana Seder, a Preparation Seder, and a Chazorah Seder. Sefer Dvarim is Chazorah. Okay, but Moshe Rabbeinu is going through. There's a long drasha. There's Musa, and there's a warning. But it's one long drasha, and it's various different mitzvahs. But Sefer Bamidbar is really the sefer where Klal Yisrael came together as a nation. They left Mitzrayim, and we have the mitzvahs of we have Yetzias Mitzrayim, we have Kriyas Yamsuf and Sefer Brit and Sefer Shmois. We have the mitzvahs of we have a lot of mitzvahs in Vayikra. But how they came together, how they matured as a nation. That's, or messed up as a nation, that is really Sefer Bamidbar. And therefore this Sefer is really a crucial part of Klal Yisrael's history, exactly what they did right, and what they did wrong. This Sefer finishes, seemingly, in a very, very strange ending. The Pasuk talks about, at the end, that the last few Pasukim talk about, Mishpachas b'nei Gila v'yikru v'roshia obis Mishpachas b'nei Gila b'nei Mochim b'nei Menashe Shachas b'nei Yesu v'dabri v'nei Moshe v'nei Yosim Roshia obis v'nei Yisrael, etc. etc. What's going on over here? Talking about over here the Nachla of the five daughters of Tzlavchod. Yeah? The five daughters of Tzlavchod, they came to Moshe Rabbeinu Parshas Pinchas and said Moshe Rabbeinu Avinu Meis b'midbar. He wasn't part of Adas Koyrach. We entitled to get a Chaluk and Bonim Loi Hoya Loi didn't have any sons, and therefore we would like to take over his portion. The Medrash speaks very highly about them, Chachmonios, Tzidkonios, the great women, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said they're correct. Moshe Rabbeinu gave over their statement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Kein b'nei Tzlavchod Doivrois, they're correct, they're entitled to a portion, and then we have the whole parasha of Hilchos Yerusha. Now we fast forward a few parashas, and Parashas Masay talks about the din of a portion going from one to the other within Eretz Yisrael. In other words, if a woman marries a man who is from a different tribe and her father didn't have any sons and she would be the next in line to inherit that portion, then it would be also for her to marry a man from a different tribe, because if she would die and not have sons, even she would have sons, right? If she would die, then ultimately her husband or her sons would be inheriting a portion, and the portion move over from one tribe to the other. That's not what we want. We want to stick to the portion. Okay? So this is what the complaint they had, that Bnei Tzlavchod, if they marry whoever they want, we have a problem. Now, what's very interesting is that the Pasuk says, in Pasuk Vav, Zeh ha-dovo ashtiva Hashem b'Bnei Tzlavchod leimor. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Bnei Tzlavchod. La-toiv b'yeinehem tir le-noshim. To whoever they wish, whatever they see in their eyes, it should be for wives. Ach, lemishpachas mati avihem tiyanen anoshim. But to the family of the tribe of the father, they should be wives. Okay, and therefore we seem to find that, you know, they were told to marry into their tribe, and then it says leisisiv nachlo and behasavas nachlo one to the other. And that's how the parasha carries on. Leisisav nachlo and mate lemate. Well, the portion will go from one tribe to the other. Karsiva Hashem es Moshe and also b'nei Tzlavchod. That's what they did. Carries on the pasuk. Vatiyena machla tirus v'chol gemuk v'noyah b'nei Tzlavchod of neidadein anoshim. And they married into their cousins. Who are their cousins? Mishpachas b'nei Menashe ben Yosef v'anoshim. They came wide. Vatiyena nachlos and mate mishpachas avim. And the portion did not move from one to the other. This, by the way, is a whole list of mishpatim and mitzvahs that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave to Moshe Rabbeinu al yadin yirechli. Chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek. End of Sefer Bamidbar. Wow, what an anticlimax. We have girls who are spinsters. Rachmana Litzlan, the youngest of them was at least 40 years old. They weren't married. They had no money. They had no dowry. They had no father. They had no brother. Right? Fine. They come to Moshe Rabbeinu, give us a portion. Ends up the parasha. Yes. Finally, they got married. And they got their portion. Nothing was wrong with that portion. Baruch Hashem. Chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek. It's not so exciting. So, Baruch Hashem, they got married. And Baruch Hashem, their portion didn't go from one to the other. Big deal. And that's the end of Sefer Bamidbar. That's why we're so excited about Sefer Bamidbar. What's going on over here? And Eila HaMitzvah Mishpatim, these are the mitzvahs, what? The mitzvah of B'nai Selavcha, that's the mitzvahs of Mishpatim. Chazak, chazak, v'nis chazak. What's Peshat? Why is a Sefer Bamidbar, which is such a crucial Sefer, finish off with a seemingly trivial idea? So let's go to the beginning of the parasha. The parasha says, Eile Masei B'nai Yisrael, these are the travelling, these are the sojourns that Klal Yisrael went from Mitzrayim, Litziv Osom, according to their gatherings, their groupings, Bian Moshe V'Aaron. Vayichdoiv Moshe es moitzo ehem lemasa ehem api Hashem, ve'eile masa ehem lemoitzo ehem. Okay? Everyone asks this question, what's Peshat in this double lashon of the Pasuk? Vayichdoiv Moshe es moitzo ehem lemasa ehem. These are Lemoitza ehem lemaseyem, their findings according to the travelings. Al pi Hashem according to Hashem. Ve'elem masa ehem lemoitza ehem, and these are the travelings according to their findings. What's this double loshen? Why is it opposite? What's going on in this pasuk? Okay, this is a perek lamed gimel pasuk base. Yichel Moshe lemoitza ehem lemaseyem al pi Hashem. Ve'elem masa ehem lemoitza ehem. What's the idea behind this? So Rav Motcha Miller, Zeichus Adik Livracha, of the Gateshead Seminary, he's got a beautiful piece on the Shabbos Urim. He says as follows. He says, if we look in Chazal, there are three different reasons why Klal Yisrael had to go through a midbar for so long. Not for 40 years. It was not planned to be in the midbar for 40 years, but at least a couple of years. It shouldn't take so long at all. From Mitzrayim all the way to Eretz Yisrael can take 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 15 days. How long does it have to take? But there was a special idea why Kosh Baruch Hu wanted them to be in the Midbar all this long. Why did Kosh Baruch Hu not take them straight to Mitzrayim? Straight to Eretz Yisrael. So Rashi is one Rashi. Rashi says over here, Moshul HaMelech, Rebbe Tamchun HaDorosh Boi Drosh HaCheres, Moshul HaMelech, Shohoyo B'nai Chayda, a Moshul of a Melech, whose son was ill, Ve'ilichel HaMokim Rochot Ligrafo Oso, and he took him to a distant place in order to heal him. Kevin Shohoyo Chayzerin, when they came back and the child was healthier, Hischel Aviv Moina Kol HaMasois, the father began to count all the different places they were. Omaloi Kan Yishnenu, here we slept, Kan Akarnu Kan Chashash Esroisha, you weren't feeling well. So the father retold the whole story, what happened along the journey on the way there. So on the way there in an ambulance, the child wasn't doing well. On the way back in a cab, the father said, by the way, here the ambulance had to resuscitate you, here we had to put off the road, and he actually talked about exactly what happened along the journey. So too, says Rabbeinu Tam Chumma, over here as well, Moshe Rabbeinu telling Klal Yisrael, he had a bit of a rough ride, and I'm telling you now, when we've passed it, and you're feeling healthier, and you're stronger, this is what happened during your travels through the Midbar. So the reason number one, why Klal Yisrael went through a Midbar, we see from over here, was that Klal Yisrael was sick. Klal Yisrael was like a sick child. Klal Yisrael had a mindset of Mitzrayim that to them was a sickness. They lived within the warped culture of Mitzrayim. They were ill. And therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu had to break them down. He had to destroy that Mitzrayim that was inside them. And eventually, going from place to place and having different experiences, that actually was able to break them down. So the first reason is, the idea was, the concept of they were sick because they had this Mitzrayim culture inside them. The second reason is brought down. Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's from Medrash Tanchuma. Imani Moilichem Derech Pshuta, if I take them the regular way, Achshav Machzikon Ish Besodo Bekeren, each person will go straight to the business of working the land in Eretz Yisrael. Umevatlim in HaTorah, and they will become bottle in HaTorah. They'll be Amaratzim. Elani Moilichem Derech HaMidbo, I will take them through Derech HaMidbo. Ve'yoychul Esamon, they'll eat mon. Ve'yishtu Me'a Be'er, and they'll drink water from the Be'er. And therefore they'll become B'nai Torah. In other words, living in the Midbar with Mon, and living in the Midbar with Moshe Rabbeinu, and Anani HaKovod was a fantastic yeshiva experience for them. They became B'nai Torah, they learned Torah. Not like the first case. The first case was posh, they were sick, they had to be rehabilitated. This was a positive experience of learning Torah. The third reason, what's the third reason why Kosh Baruch did not take the straight to Eretz Yisrael? Ve'inocham alekim derech Eretz Pelishtim. Kikorifu didn't take through Eretz Pelishtim, because it's very close. Ki Omar, they said, Pen Pen, let's go back to Mitzrayim. It's too difficult for us to go to Eretz Yisrael. Pen, yeah, they'll have Muhammad, they'll go back to Mitzrayim. And therefore, another reason why it took them for a long way round is because they did not want Chas V'Shalom Klal Yisrael to have any cold feet before they come to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so three different reasons. So the Dublin Magid says a beautiful moshul. Okay, Dublin Magid says like this. He said, Nebuch, there was a father whose wife died when his children were very young. And one son, he didn't know his mother very well, but the father remarried, and he married a second wife, and that stepmother to this boy was absolutely terrible to him. Like the old classic stereotype, right? Really was very, very mean to this poor little boy. And this boy suffered all his life, and he suffered in quiet, and Nebuch, the father, didn't know what to do. But the father's travelled a lot, and this boy grew up, you know, with enormous amount of suffering. One day, on one of the father's journeys, the father met a wonderful, wonderful family, and he met a wonderful, wonderful girl, and he thought it would be fantastic if my son gets married to this girl. So, he goes back home, and he tells his son, listen, my son, you know, it's time, got to move on in life, got to build your own family. You coming with me to the next trip, I'll go on business, I want to introduce you to that family. Fine, they go on to the horse and cart, and the son says to the wagon driver, tell me, how far are we from where we left? So the wagon driver says, we must travel at least 100 miles already. After a few minutes, the father says to the wagon driver, tell me, how far is it to our next till we get to our destination? So it's another 50 miles. After a few minutes, the son says, tell me, how far is it from where we left? He said, now it must be about 130 miles. Father says, how close is it now? Well, another 20, 25 miles. And this happens again and again. So the child says to the father, why are you asking like that? And why am I asking like that? What's the difference? So the father says, very simple. All you're interested in is running away from your stepmother. Leaving behind your past. That's what interests you. And therefore you keep on asking, how far away are we? No, Baruch Hashem, you know, no one's going to run after me now. But I know, says the father, what awaits you in that place. I know what a wonderful life you're going to have in that new position that you reach. When you meet this family, you meet this girl, hopefully you'll get married till you build a beautiful family. If I can't wait to bring you to that place. Says the Pasuk, Vayichtov Moshe Moitzeihem L'Maseihem Api Hashem. Ve'elem mas'eihem le'moitzeihem. That's how the end of the pasuk. With regard to Klal Yisrael, is mas'eihem le'moitzeihem. Mas'eihem le'moitzeihem means the travels according to where they are now. Which means I am not interested in traveling to somewhere. I'm interested in traveling away from somewhere. How far away are we from slavery? How far away are we from Mitzrayim? We are mas'eihem le'moitzeihem. The mas'eihem. We're traveling according to where we are now. That's what's important to us. What's important to us now is we're not in Mitzrayim. But the Yichtov Moshe, but Moshe wrote, Moshe knew what Eretz Yisrael was. He wrote, Es Moitzeihem Lemaseihem, where they were according to where they're traveling. In other words, what was important? Their traveling was important. Where they're going to is important. So again, so Moshe ben Yichtov Moshe wrote, Es Moitzeihem Lemaseihem, where they were according to where they're traveling to. Lemaseihem, where they're traveling to is important. But for Klal Yisrael, was the Eilem Mas'ehen Moitzeihem. What's important was Mas'ehen Moitzeihem, where they were now is important. Forget about the traveling. The traveling to some is not important. That's how the Dubna Magid explains the difference in Moitzeihem Mas'ehen Moitzeihem. In other words, Klal Yisrael had the Ashkofa run away from Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu had the Ashkofa of coming towards Eretz Yisrael. Reb Tzadok HaKohen writes that when Klal Yisrael was about to enter Eretz Yisrael after leaving Mitzrayim, they wouldn't have stood a chance in surviving Eretz Yisrael. There would have been farmers, would have had a chavrus maybe at night, but there would not be Bnei Torah who are farmers. It would have been farmers who were Bnei Torah who learnt at night rather than Bnei Torah who are farmers. They would not survive Eretz Yisrael very long. And therefore he says that's Pshat in this Pasuk. Monty Miller. He says this. He says, Mas'eihem le'moitzeihem means like this child is running away. Number one is the fact we had three pshatim beforehand. The first idea was leaving behind Mitzrayim. not physically leaving behind slavery, leaving behind the tomb of Mitzrayim, the Sur Meira, leaving behind Mitzrayim with all that its hashkofos and all its shtus, leaving that behind. That was Mas'ein and Mitzrayim, leaving behind to, in order to travel to a new traveling away from that destination. Masha'enken Moshe Rabbeinu was interested in Mitzrayim la Mas'ehem, to bring them to levels of Kedusha, to make them B'nai Torah, to make them make sure that they never ever want to go back to Mitzrayim again. And therefore the three reasons why they left Mitzrayim was incorporated in this pasuk. It's leaving behind Mitzrayim, leaving behind the tomb of Mitzrayim like a child who's ill, going towards a goal of reaching Eretz Yisrael, and combined, the two combined, never wanting to go back to that tumah and always wanting to strive towards the Kedusha. That was the purpose of them going in the Midbar. That is what the pasuk introduces us to. In other words, Rabbi say, let's get this clear. The whole reason why you went through the Midbar was for these reasons. To become B'nai Torah, to leave behind Mitzrayim, and to follow Ribbono Shel Olam with whatever he says. If a Kodesh Baruch Hu says go to Eretz Yisrael, we'll go to Eretz Yisrael. That is the purpose of traveling through the Midbar. The question now is, were we successful? Was this Sefer Bamidbar in vain? This traveling through the Midbar that the whole Sefer is talking about, the purpose behind going through the Midbar all this time, we have to now investigate whether that plan was actually successful. And that's what the Parsha is saying at the end of Parsha Samasi. Let's identify what happened with B'nai Salafchod to see whether this operation of going through the Midbar all that time was actually a successful operation. Let's take five women. Not Tamidei Chachamim. Not Tzadikim. Not Hezel Shvatim. Let's see how Klal Yisrael acted. Let's see the Hashkafa that they actually worked with at this stage of the end of the Midbar and see whether the whole Parshas by Midbar, the whole Sefer by Midbar, and the Ovar Masoris actually taught them what they're supposed to have learned. That's what the Parshas is going through. Therefore, let's see now this parsha carefully. The pasuk says, we'd said this pasuk beforehand, Ze hadova ashtiva Hashem livnei selavchod lemar. This is what Kosh Brocha said to Bnei Selavchod, La toiv be'einehem tia lanoshim. Rabbi Yisai, what does that mean? La toiv be'einehem tia lanoshim. What does that mean? Marry whoever you want. Right? Says the pasuk, Ach lemishpachas mate avihem tia lanoshim. As long as this is the tribe of your father's tribe. Now, it's like the old Russian communist car showroom. You can have any car you want, any color you want, as long as it's black. It's not what the pasuk saying. Marry whoever you want, as long as it is the tribe of your father. Says Aruch Haim HaKadosh, that's wrong pshat. So Aruch Haim HaKadosh, they had an exception to this rule. I'm not going through the Gemara Bava Basra. But Aruch Haim HaKadosh says, they can marry whoever they want. They do not have to marry the tribe of their father. They can marry whoever they want. They can marry out of the tribe as well. Special exception. Not going into why. Special exception. Ach, the mishpachas mati aviyem tinanoshim means I'm giving a piece of good advice. Marry somebody from your family. So therefore, the halacha was that they can marry whoever they wanted. Hashem gives them a piece of advice and says, but marry somebody from your own tribe. Okay? That's where Aruch Haim learns it. Yaakov? Now, if that's the case, look a few psukim later. Kashet Siva Hashem es Moshe prosecuted, like a Kodesh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe, Kain osu b'nai Selavchod, that's what b'nai Selavchod did. What did they do? Vatiyena machla, tirtzo, chogla, milka, v'noya, b'nei slovcha, libnei dedein anoshim. They married their cousins. One second. According to the Aruch Haim HaKadosh, who just said, it was not a command for them to marry their cousins. They could marry whoever they wanted to. So why is Pshat over here? Kasha Siva Hashem is Moshe, like Hashem commanded Moshe, that's what they did. It wasn't a command, b'chlal. It was a piece of good advice. It wasn't a command. So ask Shimon Shvab. Okay? Rav Moshe asked it stronger. Rav Moshe said, Rav Moshe Feinstein asked him, Dorosh Moshe, if that's what Kosh Baruch Hu actually wanted to command, Kashat Siva Hashem as Moshe, if that really was a command what Kosh Baruch Hu wanted, why didn't he say beforehand, I want you, Dafka, to marry your tribe? Why did he say to them, La toy be neem tira noshim, marry whoever you want, but a piece of good advice, marry your family? It's more difficult to keep something you commanded to do. You get more schar for something you commanded to do than something not commanded to do. Command them dafka to marry their cousins, it'll be harder for them, and they get even more schar. So why do you give them the option and they end up marrying their cousins? What's the deal behind this? If I used to listen to this, this is so powerful. It says with Shimon Schwab that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a piece of advice to a Ben Torah, that is Tzivoy Hashem. When a Pasuk says, Ach l'mishpachas matzeh v'yem tu'yen l'noshim, means I'm giving a piece of good advice, take it. To a person who understands his role in this world, Kasha Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, they understood that a piece of advice from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is something I have to take on board, and that's what I have to do. That to me is a tzivui. That to me is a command. If a Kodesh Baruch Hu tells us to do a mitzvah, if a Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us a command, then of course we have to keep it. If we have to keep the Torah because it says don't eat chazer, of course we won't eat chazer. But what about when it comes to doing things that Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't tell us what to do directly, but we know that's Ratzon Hashem? It's not Asa. How do we act then? This is Ramban in the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim. Or Kedoshim to you. It says Ramban, you shouldn't be novel b'shus ha-Torah. Don't be a person who is actually involved in every single taiva and gaiva and covered, but he's doing it with a kosher hechsher stempel. Trying to become like a goy, but in a kosher way. That's what the Torah is saying over here. To somebody who's a ben Torah, to benoy slavchod, kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe, they took that as a command. If that's Ratzon Hashem, he doesn't have to tell us muta asa. It's what is Ratzon Hashem, what is he suggesting to us? That to us is absolute binding. He said, the Gemara says, Vaydatu lem es aderech yelchubo, ves amaisa sheyasen, shemois yudches. Says the Gemara, there's a maisa, ze hadin. What you should do, that's a halacha. Ashe yasun, but what you should really do, zu lifnim mishurus hadin. That's lifnim mishurus hadin. The Omer of Yechanon, the Gemara says, Baba Mitzia, daf laman on the base. Lo chorva Yushalayim. Yushalayim is not destroyed. Elo, al shemidu dineim al din Torah. Because they kept the entire Shulchan Aruch. Klal Yisrael lost the base of Middash because they kept Shulchan Aruch. What does that mean? They kept Abba Chalke Shulchan Aruch, yes, but they behaved like a goy. That is what the Pasuk is telling us over here. To B'nai Selavchot, Kashat Siva Hashem Es Moshe, that was a command because it was based on good advice. Misham Shemfal Hish says something very nice. He says, Dabel b'nei Yisrael marta lehem v'osu lehem tzitzis. What's Rishat? Dabel b'nei Yisrael v'marta lehem v'osu lehem tzitzis. Dabel, speak to them and tell them and they should make tzitzis. What's Rishat? Speak to them and tell them. So he says, there's so many different ways of getting out of wearing tzitzis. You don't have to wear a beggar with four corners. You can take one corner and round it off. You can borrow a beggar, don't have to, doesn't it, if it's not yours. So he says, no. Dabel b'nei Yisrael v'marta lehem. Explain to them what tzitzis means to me. And if they're proper Jews, if they really know what it means to be a Yid and how it reminds of the 630 mitzvahs, and then it'll be v'osulahem tzitzis, they will make the tzitzis themselves. They won't find heterim. They won't look for outs. Yeah, listen, it doesn't say it's osa, but you have it, pseudo, you know, it doesn't have the best echshah. Listen, you know, not everyone can always keep everything. No, it's not such thing. Even if you're keeping everything, there's a certain element there of doing things for kashitziva Hashem with Ratzon Hashem, and that's the Shimon Shvab. Rav Moshe goes one stage further. Rav Moshe says, listen to this. He says, if there's a mitzvah, there's also a mutter, that's one thing. I can keep it. Well, chas v'chlila, I don't keep it. Rachman al-Itzlan. But when it comes to a piece of advice, when it comes to knowing what I should be doing, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do, but it's not clear that's what I have to do, in other words, there's no clear command, that is where the bigger Yetzirah comes in. God Lama Silva Isa means, where's a bigger Yetzirah to do something that you are commanded to do? It says, Moshe, is an even bigger Yetzirah. to not follow the advice of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Where I have an option to go out. Without Yetzirah says to me, listen, it's not a mitzvah. Eh, come on, it's okay. That is where the bigger Yetzirah kicks in. And says, Ramesha, if Chas v'Chalila, a person doesn't take that seriously, read what he says. Ma'acha de l'kaim asas Hashem yisparach. Hunami negid Yetzirah, oid beyoysela hachzik es atzmon ke'ein lo yitzirach v'as Hashem yisparach. If a person doesn't follow the advice of Kodesh Baruch Hu, to achet hayoysa godl. It's worse than not listening to Kodesh Baruch Hu's command. That's what he says in Chelik Aleph in Darash Moshe. In Chelik Beis, he said in Halach Lamais, what does this mean? Ki mi shaloi me Torah lishmo. Listen to this. A person who lives Torah lishmo. Nenin mimenu eitzav v'sishia lehevin heitev maliyats b'nyoni gashmim natoiv. A person who learns Torah lishmo. A Talmud Chochem knows what advice to give in this world. V'me'einoi mamin b'zeh hu chesoron godel boy. If a person doesn't believe that, there's a massive lack in this person's belief. In other words, B'noi Selovchod had reached a stage where when a Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'd like you to give me my piece of advice, he didn't say, yeah, I'll consider it. No! That was Tivay Hashem. There's no option but to follow Ratzon HaKodesh Baruch Hu. That was the first stage. That was who they were. And that was what, so far, going through the Midbar taught them. But it goes much further than this. The Pasuk says, beautiful chat from the Zayin of Torah. He says, Zeh ha-dovo ha-shtiva Hashem levnoi selobchad leimor, la-toiv be'einehem tiyenu l'noshim. Ha-toiv be'einehem. What should it say? Be'einehen. Talking to women. Yeah? La-toiv be'einehem, good in their eyes, masculine. Talking about women here. Tiyan Anoshim should have toiv le'inehen. Right? How many times I've been through this, I never noticed that. Right? Good kasha. So, I hope you won't mind if I give this marshal, but when I taught in Discovery, we gave something called the Zenith Express. And one of the five levels of pleasure was we had to show the difference between love and infatuation. So, you know, one of the anecdotes we'd give over was a Woody Allen film. Woody Allen was going on his search for a perfect shidduch, you know, and one day he decides to go for an intelligent woman, so he goes to the Museum of Modern Art, and he goes to some part of some abstract paintings, and there he is. He sees a woman transfixed on a Jackson Pollock painting by Hans Hoffman, and one of these paintings, completely abstract painting, he says to her, "No, you know, what does this picture mean to you?" And she doesn't even look at him. She says, "This is the spittle of mankind. The desolate life of a human void. Death, destruction, holocaust," or something like that, right? So he goes, "Psh, wow, very impressive, very impressive. So what are you doing on Friday night?" "Committing suicide." Okay, what about Thursday night? Yeah? Was he in love or was he infatuated? Says a posuk, we have to be careful. When a girl goes into a shidduch, we have to know what she's looking for. He said, when we find in the Torah, when it talks about a shidduch, it all says, "Es biti nasati le'ish." You know, I gave my daughter to this man. Who's involved in the shidduchim? Who's doing the shidduchim? It's a father taking care of his daughter. It's a father respecting the needs of the daughter, but on the other hand, you know, giving her the security to make sure she doesn't fall into some smooth-talking con man. You know how many girls, Rahman al-Islam, the Sfadi girls, live in the very, very poor girls that get pulled in by the Arab, charming Arab men who work in the makolets and end up in the Arab villages, and they get beaten there and caught there, and the Leiv La'achim or Yad La'achim have to come along and save them. You know, it's easy for a girl, Rahman al-Itzlan, to get pulled across. The Zayin HaTorah of Sirotskin says there was one man whose daughter went after love of her heart, in inverted commas he put it, and he said the father of this girl wouldn't have suggested this man that this girl married to his biggest enemies, and she fell nafal bapach, she fell in big time. It's too late. So the Pasuk says over here that they should find somebody to toiv be'einehem that would be fitting for their father or their brother. You know, brother's also very protective. Make sure when you go for your shidduch, if it should be somebody to toiv be'einehem, your father would be happy with, your brother would be happy with. Don't be infatuated, don't get pulled aside. What's this pasuk telling us? The pasuk is telling us that at the end of the day, we don't think straight sometimes. Passion, desire, wish, whim, whatever it is, pulls us the wrong direction. Sometimes we've got to go along and ask our father and ask our brother to protect us. And sometimes, says the pasuk, we don't have a father and a brother. Sometimes we don't have those people to protect us. So what does the pasuk say? Girls, listen, you don't have a father, you don't have a brother. How are you going to know the right thing? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will tell you the right shidduch is, marry your cousins. Piece of good advice. I'll look after you. You have no brother, you have no father. I'm Avia Yisaimim. I'm telling you who you should marry. Marry your cousins, and that's what they did. In other words, a person can be very merrily going along, doing his own wish, but it's not a toy be'enehem, he could fall right in. If a person does not know what they're doing, go and ask. Go and ask Das Torah. Go and ask the Rabbeinu Shleinim, he'll give you inspiration. And this Rabbi Sahih has always been the Koyach of women. The Koyach of women has always been the Amunas Chachamim, has always been the Koyach that they had to listen to Medech Chachamim and follow advice. There's a story, very amusing story, the Briskerov, when he was in Brisk, the shul there had a choir. I don't think they do that anymore in a Brisk yeshiva here, but in the shul then had a choir. And so the minhag was, the chazan would stand there, and around in the semicircle the choir would go and sing, and have the whole choir there, fine. One time the Gaboim, the president of the shul, and the Gaboim decided that it's going to be much more formal, much more majestic, if the choir goes up to a little balcony above the chazan. Little balcony above the chazan, and sing from there, and accompany him from there. So the Briskerov comes inside and sees the whole choir standing atop on this balcony above the chazan. So he felt that was a piritzah. But that was wrong. It's not what you do. Surely you stand at the bottom, you don't start to make a whole choir up on top. It's not a church. So he went up to the balcony, climbed up the balcony and says, gentlemen, Rabbi Yisai, please do me a favor, please come down. I don't like this. Fine. The Rav says, you come down. So all trundle down the stairs. Come down the stairs, the president's waiting for them there. You're down here. I told you to go upstairs. Get up! All trundle back up the stairs. The Rav goes up the stairs. Rav Yisai, please do me a favor. Listen, it's not the way it should be. I like to come downstairs. Fine. Off they go down the stairs. This happened 4 or 5 times. Up and down, up and down. Eventually the Rav calls up to the Ezes Noshim. Ladies, please tell your husbands where they should be standing. And then they hear the ladies shrieking. Get downstairs, how dare you? Listen to the Rav. If you don't listen, don't bother coming back home. You know, yelling at the house. That's always been the koyach of women. When Klal Yisrael said, we don't want Eretz Yisrael, the Noi Sofcha said, we want a portion here. The Munas Chachomim, asking when they should ask, that was B'nai Salofchot. Knowing that ultimately Das Torah is king. Rotzna Kodesh Baruch Hu is king. That is what the B'nai Salofchot did. I want to just carry one stage further. The Pasuk says, Pasuk says, Kashet Siva Hashem es Moshe kein osu b'nei Salofchot. So why does it say over here, Kashet Siva Hashem es Moshe kein osu b'nei Salofchot? It should say, V'yas b'nei Salofchot, Kashet Siva Hashem es Moshe. What's Kashet Siva Hashem es Moshe kein osu b'nei Salofchot? It should say, V'yas b'nei Salofchot, Kashet Siva Hashem es Moshe, everywhere else in the Torah. So there's only one other place where it says this strange Loshon, and that is sending out the Tumeim outside from the Machne. The person in the storm has got to go outside the Machne. It also says over there, and send them out, and Vayishlechu, it says it sent out the Tumeim, Kapsiv Hashem is Moshe Ken Osu B'nei Yisrael. What's the connection? So he says it's very difficult to send Tumeim outside the Machne. There's a family, there's a father, there's a mother, there's a sister, there's a brother, there's a whole family dynamic. And by sending out one of the family members, it's very difficult to do such a thing. So it was difficult, but you know what? They understood that's what Kodesh Baruch Hu wants. That's what we'll do, is send them out. In other words, he said, whenever you have a command, and it's difficult to fulfill the command, but you realize, one second, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us that command, we have to do it anyway, it says that Loshon. Kashet Siva Hashem Es Moshe, Kain also B'nai Salafchot. If that's what Rabbeinu Shlomo wanted, that's what we'll do. That was Salafchot. B'nai Salafchot did the same thing. It was difficult for them to marry, take HaKadosh Baruch Hu's advice. 1 second, we're 40 years old. The youngest of us are 40 years old. Who's going to marry us? You know, it's not easy. Says the Pasuk, 1 second, but Kashav Hashem is Moshe. Who gave us this advice? It's Rabbeinu Shlomo. We have a choice. Says the Pasuk, they actually did Kashav Hashem. Was it Kashav Hashem is Moshe? That was actually to marry the Toiv Be'enehem. That was a command. They fulfilled the command that was difficult. What was the command? That it should be the Toiv Be'enehem. Which means that they fulfilled a difficult command, but understood that was what Rabbeinu Shlomo wanted, and that became to them the Toiv Be'enehem. That became their choice. That became exactly what they wanted. They internalized Rabbeinu Shlomo's Ratzon, and it became their perfect first number one choice. It became the Toiv Be'enehem. They fulfilled the Kashav Hashem to should be the Toiv Be'enehem, even though the limp and also limited. What happened in the end, Rabbi Isai? The Pasuk says, do you think they suffered? Do you think this girl suffered? Imagine having chassid going on, and they became wives, and they took the Nachla, and says the Pasuk, the whole Sefer of the Midbar began with traveling through the Midbar, learning messages of keeping away from Mitzrayim, of striving towards an Eretz Yisrael, Maseilem, 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 becoming Bnei Torah, leaving behind those things that aren't important. That was why we left Mitzrayim. And what happened after these 40 years? We have a parasha of Parshas Lofchot, where normal women, fine, they were intelligent, fine, they're darshonios, but normal women reach a stage where Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes my Ratzon. Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants is exactly what we want. It was a successful operation. It was very successful, and that successful operation should imply itself and apply itself to everything we do. Everything we do, we should not just see as is it osir, is it mutter? Is that Ratzon Hashem? Is going to a Talmud Chochem the right thing to do? Of course it is. If he gives us a piece of advice, is that optional? No, it isn't. It's Kashiv Hashem, it's Moshe. Because if we don't, it's a Toiv Be'enehem. It's not Toiv Be'enehem. And with this, Baruch Hashem, with this parasha, showing us that we were successful in the Midbar, we can close the Sefer Bamidbar and we can say Chazak, Chazak, V'nis Chazek. Become stronger and come stronger in these Limudim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help us and we'll become stronger too.